Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in today's episode. All right, it's another great episode coming up for you. Obviously, Doug Norrie and myself are going to talk about coming out of the All-Star break. Still no real specifics around the timeline on Kevin Durant's return. How concerned are or are we not around that piece of it? And what is it going to look like? Do we have a cutoff date in mind when we want to see him on the court and healthy once again? From there, we're going to turn our attention obviously over to Blake Griffin. How does his presence now on this roster going to impact the roles of other players, the minute shares for some specific guys like DeAndre Jordan, like Jeff Green, who's still sitting with an injury, even like a Bruce Brown. So how does this all play out and what are our expectations over the next couple of weeks? And then finally, of course, just to alleviate some of your concern around acquisitions of players and expectations and where does the bar need to get set? Doug's got you covered with some fantastic EFG stats that should let you know whoever shows up on that floor around James Harden, around Kyrie Irving, around Kevin Durant, it all looks pretty, pretty good. Coming up next, right after the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast. It's on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day, except for weekends. I'm Doug Norrie, owner and operator of Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings. Got you covered. All your betting and DFS needs for the NBA, NHL if you're into that as well. Really every sport, just talking about the ones that are in season. And over there is Adam Armbrecht. He's the voice of the Brooklyn Nets sportscaster, also the host of the One Giant podcast covering the New York Giants. Buddy, how are we doing today?
Good, man. Let's get back into the action, right? All-Star break is all fine and well. I need meaningful games for the Brooklyn Nets, and we are teed up to kick off the second half.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm excited to get this going. It feels like the All-Star break is always a nice little respite from the action. Take a couple of days off. Like you said, we didn't get too much into the All-Star game. Did talk about some Nets first half stuff. But for me, in terms of just like kind of like covering the team and watching the team every day, there's that little bit where you're like, okay, I've got about 4 or 5 days off here. Don't have to worry about it. Not like we worry about it. I feel blessed to be able to do this every single day. But every once in a while, just to know that you're not checking the schedule, see what's coming up next. But then by the end of, when you hit around a week, it's like, hey, when are the Nets coming back here? what's this BS? They're not playing Wednesday? What is it, like a total joke? There's two games on Wednesday and they're not even playing. So they're coming back Thursday, but we got plenty to talk about here. Do a little postmortem still on the first half of the season, and then obviously looking ahead to what's to come here for what's going to be maybe one of the more entertaining second half of the seasons the Nets have ever had, frankly. I mean, I know there's been some championship, you know, ish runs in there, but in terms of hype around a team, I think that this is going to rank right up there with them in terms of just like sort of historically for the team. But we got to start off talking about how we're coming out of the All-Star break, Thursday game here against the Celtics, and still no Kevin Durant. At what point, you know, I don't know if you want to just kind of do a quick recap on where we are with the Durant injury and what the timeline, if there even is one, around him coming back looks like. Because now we're out of the All-Star break. Team Durant plays without the aforementioned captain. How concerned are we going in into the second half of the season without the team's best player?
Yeah, I said it before the break when you asked, will he play before the break? I said, yeah, don't worry about it. And you were so thankful, so relieved that I brought that to your attention. He didn't play. I'm still not concerned. Everything from the Nets is that we're just not going to push him on it. We don't need to force him back. We're in a great position, a 2 seed in the East. Everything really went well, even in his absence before the All-Star break. But, you know, February 26th, the last time that it was just saying will not play before the All-Star break in terms of updates on the injury. As it stands right now, he's not going to play coming out of the All-Star break. I don't know how long that delay goes. I think, again, it's not about health. My biggest if it's a concern, is just getting him on the court, and now with the newly acquired Blake Griffin, and just finding the rotations, right? Really pinning down some of these roles and understanding what our starting five looks like and how we want to attack the opposition. That's all that I'm really concerned about. It's still just, what, 7-8 games that all of the big three have played together. So I probably want to get in a solid 20-game sample size before we get into the playoffs. That's the only thing that I want to make sure that we hang our hat on. So if he doesn't show up, and, you know, if he sits there for another 2 weeks, I probably don't care, as long as he's back on the court, healthy, and playing the last 15 to 20 games down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, at this point, it's just one of these things, like every day that goes by or every game that goes by where it's not there, you know, this is a finite resource, these games, right? Like at some point, they're not going to create more games, so you have them to be able to prep in you know, preparation for the playoffs. It's just you're gonna hit the window, and that's gonna just be basically it. So right now, are we in panic mode? Obviously not. The team doesn't seem to be, although we have been down this road with the Nets before in terms of injury news and injury reporting and severity of it, and sort of we know in the past that they've I don't want to say it's less than forthright, because that implies lying. I don't think that's the case, but we have been in situations with the team where the timelines have been murky around when players are going to return. We have two separate situations with Kyrie Irving. I get they're totally separate, but the shoulder issue from last season and then also his leave from the team this year, where it just wasn't known at all when and if he was going to come back. So that's the only thing that sort of just sits right in the back of my mind with this Durant thing is, you know, okay, we're now multiple games in, we're through the extended break, and we're getting imaging on the leg, and it's just not totally clear. So I guess like every game that goes by, we're not in the full panic button mode here yet. I don't think it pays to be there, but I don't know. It is one of these things where I'm like, because you said, you know, 20 games together, there's going to be a cutoff point where that's just not possible. I get that this is a totally made up number by you, so it's fine. But and I do think actually the beginning of the playoffs, especially in the East, can still be part of the tune-up, right? Like, I think that, like, that, like, I think, yeah. I think that first round, based on where the Nets are probably going to end up being seeded, is probably not something to really totally worry about. Famous last words until you have to, but so I would still probably count that beginning part of the playoffs as time to sort of meld it together. But at some point, yeah, you adding all these new pieces that they've done this season, you do need time to do it. So, yeah, so I guess actually that does lead me to a question for you. It's like, what is, you mentioned 20 games. Again, that's probably taken somewhat out of thin air. It's okay. We're allowed to have some hot takes here.
I find a lot of things in thin air, you know. Some of my best work is in thin air, you know, depending on the topic.
Yeah. So what would be your realistic cutoff point then? Like, what would be your I'm starting to get worried now moment? Because we had this with Kyrie last year, right? I don't think we had, the season didn't have the same expectations, but, you know, what would be the moment where we hop on the podcast and we say, hey, it's X, we still don't have Durant, what is going on here?
Yeah, 35 games to go here as the second half kicks off, starting with Boston tonight. So if you go down the line and get yourself into, like you said, it's an arbitrary time frame, but I think you do find rhythm, and usually when you hear from teams, they'll say, this past week, we started to figure stuff out. So you can almost think about it that way too. Go down the list, you're probably talking about Monday, and this would be following an away game in Chicago on Sunday, April 4th. So Monday the 5th is home against the Knicks. The 7th that Wednesday, home against the Pelicans, and then the Lakers, all at home, three-game stretch there. If you wanted to say there's zero pressure, we're in a great spot, that's 15 games away, and you know, you can do the timeline on that. That's giving you a solid three-week runway as well for Kevin Durant. And then you get into the back end of the season. And if you want to throw in the first-round playoffs, that we would assume the Nets are going to take care of whoever the matchup may be in four, maybe five games, you're talking about having 20 to 25 games that, and by the way, I think why that idea comes to mind is because the first four or five games is not going to be maximum strength Kevin Durant. He's going to build himself back up into conditioning as well. So I think the start of April, if you don't hear anything before that, as we start to get into April, that's when you want to start to hear that he's working back up the activity, he's looking good, he's been practicing, and we've heard that he's been shooting around as it is right now, but that's probably where I would start to say, hey, if I don't hear this at that point, I'll start to get a little bit concerned. Although, you know, and we talked about not necessarily being deep dive on the All-Star break. We know that Harden was there. We know that Kyrie Irving was there as well and had a heck of a performance. But maybe those guys, they have to alleviate. And maybe even specifically Kyrie Irving. We've talked so much about Harden and his role on this team and how he's been a facilitator. So from a pure scoring standpoint, the next couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, may end up being about, hey, Kyrie, why don't you carry over from the All-Star break and say, I'm going to start to put a little bit of my offensive stamp onto this team until Kevin Durant's back and fully healthy.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because like maybe that's the part where this is where we're still in the not have to worry about it so much mode, because we have these two other guys, right? Like you have this other, there's no treading water that's happening right now when you have James Harden and when you have a guy like Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, by the way, we didn't get too much into it because we didn't talk about the All-Star game. But you got to say, when you talk about joy and happiness and just like a guy that's going out there just to play, Kyrie Irving's performance in the All-Star game, I believe you said it was the all-time most net points scored by a net in an All-Star game, 24. Was that the right? That
franchise
was the right
record. Yeah, correct, yeah. Sir.
Also just decided to get in on the old dishing action with 12 assists as well. And look, the All-Star game is an exhibition game, but you got to love basketball. And if you're going to go out there and just kind of straight up ball like Kyrie Irving did, you don't do it unless you absolutely love the game. So from that standpoint, Kyrie Irving has definitely got to be the ultra player of the week right now, coming on the heels of that performance. And when you're talking about Ultra, you're also talking about Michelob Ultra as well. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. Joy creates success. We've seen that over and over. When Kyrie Irving is joyous about playing basketball, there's no one better. Enjoyment isn't just the end game, it's the whole game. So like Kyrie Irving in that All-Star game, 24 points, 12 assists, Ultra Player of the Week. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy?
You better believe it, man. Player of the Week. And if you're looking to get in on some of the player action and even the game action, have to remind everybody about our friends over at betonline.ag. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Obviously, we know football is starting to ramp back up into his offseason, but the NBA is in full swing, college basketball with March Madness coming up here, and of course, the NHL is in full swing also. BetOnline even covers awards and TV shows, reality TV, anything you want to be betting on. You can get it all done over there on BetOnline. Real-time updates, odds, and prop bets on almost anything you can imagine as well. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. And just remember, when you do sign up, you can head over to that website and use your mobile device as well. You'll get that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts, promo code locked on. And if you're betting on the Brooklyn Nets, good for you. But it doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. So now we turn our attention here talking about maybe Kevin Durant's not going to be back for a while. We've added Blake Griffin. And obviously, we've covered this in the last couple episodes. We talked to Ayaji Brown about it a little bit, too. The news coming out is that initially, it's going to be Blake coming off the bench. So that's, at least for in the short term, that's his identified role. He's going to be a second-unit player. How does this start to shift some of these rotations and some of the roles for players that maybe we've been getting really excited about and have had more prominent roles in the first half of the year?
Okay, so if we look at last game before the All-Star break as something like a comp for what the Nets want to do now that they've got Nick Claxton in bringing him in, that's been over the last couple games. We didn't have Jeff Green in this game, so I think that that's something that's probably still wait-and-see territory about what even the starting lineup is going to be. I think they'll end up switching it on a game-to-game basis. You know, if the team trends bigger, I think we're going to see DeAndre Jordan. If the team trends smaller, we're going to see Jeff Green in the starting role when he's able to come back from the shoulder issue. So I was encouraged that they came out early and said that Blake, at least to start, would be coming off the bench. I'm glad. I think that that makes it sort of two things. One, it's like you got to earn it role, and I think that's where we should definitely be with his game right now. I don't think we can just slot him in to the starting lineup because I think once you're there, it's harder to remove you. I think it's, you know, we saw this with DeAndre Jordan before. It was like, well, when you got moved into the starting role and Jared Allen's behind you, it's going to take a lot to have that switch. I think it's a much more fluid by design situation to have Blake start on the bench. And if it's all going so well, then we can talk about starting lineup. But let's just kind of wait and see how it goes. So that was, I did breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief when that was brought in. I think what we see to start is, so if you look at last game, it was they started Harden, Kyrie, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, and DeAndre Jordan. Let's just say that's the same starting lineup, and against the Celtics, who do trend a little bit bigger, that probably remains the same. So the question then becomes, well, where do the bench minutes go? Because if you look at the first rotations, they brought in Shamet off the bench to start. He was the first guy that rotated in for Joe Harris. And then at the end of the first quarter, we get Tyler Johnson and Andre Robertson. I think Robertson's probably the first guy to go. Right, I think that I think that situation may have already run its course, based on just how he was playing. So I think that we start to see him probably instantly be rotated out of it, and that those are probably Blake Griffin's minutes to start. I don't think that they're comps for each other by any means, but just in terms of bodies that can start getting fewer minutes because of the contribution was a little suspect to begin with. I think Robertson does fit that. Now Claxton has been checking in. You know, right at the tail end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, I think that we probably see them play together to start and see how it goes, right? Like, their games are dissimilar enough, I think, that I don't think they're probably mutually exclusive in one can play and the other can't. So I think we probably see some combined minutes for the two, with Blake playing like something like a more traditional four. Like, he's been playing high post extendeds, that kind of stuff. I still think we see that. And then we see Nick Claxton working his way. I think we see them side by side and see like what can happen defensively or even offensively from that. I think the Nets have been afforded the ability to really try some weird stuff here to start. And I don't even think this is that weird. But I think that's my guess about what we see early rotation. Because Nick Claxton has played so well that you can't take his minutes away at this point, right? So like, you're either going to be playing them together, or you rotate Blake in really early in the first quarter, and then they kind of rotate out, and we really see DeAndre Jordan's minutes decrease, right? I think like those are the two options. I think if anything, Jordan, even though he's starting, his minutes are the ones that get kind of lopped off going forward. And by the way, the Robertson piece, I should have mentioned too, like his contract was 10-day contracts, and I don't believe it got renewed anyway. So I think it's a situation. I was looking just merely at the rotations without considering the contractual piece. I think there's the two reasons. One, I think he played himself out of the rotation, but I think he probably played himself off the team here with the Blake thing too. So I'm not sure at the time of this if he's actually re-signed or not. I don't think it's really neither here nor there for me, because either way, he's got to be the guy that goes. So take back his minutes out and then begin backing Jordan's minutes out as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, because you throw Shumpert into that category too with the 10-day contract. And I think, you know, you mentioned Bruce Brown being in the starting rotation. So, yes, like in my perfect world, the way this works is it's now Blake Griffin starts to get his sample size. However it wants to overlap potentially with Claxton is fine by me. But I think where the minutes need to come from has to be from DeAndre Jordan. It just makes the most sense to me. And I know there's going to be times if you think, you know, big term or long, you know, big picture against the 76ers and the size of Embiid, you know, can Bruce Brown still function with his minute shares? Maybe, maybe not. But the value of these players in their roles, I think has been so much more further defined over the length of this that you start to say, who is vital? Like, I think Bruce Brown has proven himself to be vital to what the Nets want to do. Even if the minute share shrinks and the role shrinks a little bit, he's still clearly a very important piece to them. Likewise for what Claxton can continue to develop into over the second half of the season. Jeff Green is probably an interesting name to throw in there as well, because I do think that, you know, in this combination of who's going where and who's losing minutes, Green, Griffin, Claxton, Jordan, based on bigger or smaller lineups, I wonder how much balance you see and how these minutes get spread out. Or to your point about Griffin, you're going to need to play yourself into a larger role. It's not just going to be handed to you. Can DeAndre Jordan continue to play himself into a smaller role? Is there a minimum that they're going to put Jordan out there regardless of the product? Or can he end up just kind of becoming the Jeff Green, right? Can he become the Blake Griffin off the bench while Blake Griffin and Claxton combine to take care of some of those bigger minute shares? That would be my preference. And I think it's going to take at least a couple of weeks here to see what Griffin is on this team with these players around him.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. And I think that I'm with you on the flexibility piece. I think that this is not, I think they're in a situation now where they're, again, they can try different things around different players. They've already gotten a little bit weird positionally in terms of who is playing, like, they're playing, like, in a lot of ways, positionless basketball. Bruce Brown has helped them into that. So you don't need to follow these prescriptive rules around positions. And I think it's going to allow for a lot of different combinations. And in that way, I think Griffin is interesting. You know, even if we kind of just did sort of poo-poo the signing a little bit, or at least I did at the time, I do think at least the flexibility around what he brings adds to a positional piece where the Nets are still afforded some fluidity. And as we're going to bring up here in a second, you're going to see that basically whoever stepped into these roles has absolutely crushed it, at least statistically, which we'll get to in a second. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Rock Auto. Buying car parts can be super intimidating, super frustrating too. You go into these stores, you got the guy at the counter, or gal at the counter, usually a guy at the counter. You give them the make and model of your car, the part you need. They disappear into the labyrinth and they're gone for an extended period of time. They come out with some unmarked box. You don't know if it's the right thing or not, or maybe they don't even come back with a box. They say they got to put it on order. You don't even know what price you're going to get. Just an experience that really nobody wants to deal with. But over at Rock Auto, they have you completely covered, easily searchable database by make and model. They'll tell you right there if they have the part, and they almost always do, and what the price is. And the price, you're going to get 30 or even 50% better than some of those local places I was talking about as well. Like I said, basically any year, make, or model of car you want, and it takes almost no time at all to search and find the part you need. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Right now, just go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They basically have everything that you need. And when you go over there and they ask you, how did you hear about us? Just type in Locked On, like our podcast network. That's it. How did you hear about us? Type in Locked On and they'll know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Buddy, you're a Built Bar fan. Am I right?
You know it.
Look, there's nobody that's in the Locked On family at this point that isn't absolutely going crazy for Built Bar. Like I've mentioned before, it's the best protein bar out there. And in the Locked On NBA channel, all you're doing is having people argue about what are the best flavors, which ones you should try, which waiting with bated breath when these things get sent to you. And Built Bar has created the Built Bar Madness, where they're going to decide the fate of the favorite flavors. This is how good confident they are. They know they can just kind of put out all their flavors and have them be in a competition. And it's actually kind of tough to choose because the flavors are all so great. But right now, German chocolate or salted caramel? Which one are you going? This is the first round matchup. German chocolate, salted caramel.
Man of my heart, German chocolate. Come on. Get them on the books.
I'll give you one more. Mocha or WC birthday cake? I know.
I'm going mocha. I'm going to say traditional here, right? I need some Cinderella cake story coming out. Mocha, please.
I'm fans of everything, but I got to go mocha as well. BuiltBar.com is where you can check out all of these flavors, or you go to Built_Bar on Twitter. Best protein bar out there, completely covered in chocolate, but also completely healthy for you as well. Right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and you use the promo code LOCKEDON20, you're going to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20. To get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. BuiltBar.com, LOCKEDON20 to get that 20% off.
And of course, guys, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, how much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to be subscribing to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Now, as you like to do, as Doug Norrie is one to do, hit me with these stats that maybe, I don't know, it could be, you know, regardless of how you maybe felt about the signing of Griffin, I was going slightly more positive, but ultimately you're going to alleviate everyone's concerns because this is a plug-and-play scenario for Brooklyn.
Well, the thing is, if you are, and I think Jackson Gatlin was the one who mentioned it, and this has borne itself out in the stats, sort of, because there's other guys that have been beneficiaries of just being on a good team and being good players. But the effective field goal percentage and true shooting percentage for some of the Nets guys this season that aren't the superstars is just crazy good, right? And this is where when you add a guy like Blake Griffin, who, you know, he made his bones forever on athleticism, being able to jump out of the gym, and the game has shifted into something different now. But if you look at sort of the role players that have played significant minutes this season, they're just all getting the best shots and making them. right? This is one of the real, it's not just the three superstars that have lent to the offense being great. It's that the three superstars, they command so much attention that the other guys are left with just perfect situations time and time again. And so this is where I think from even just from a statistical standpoint, we're going to see Blake Griffin just definitely improve. Because when you go from a team that has, I mean, they were, this is what they were doing at the end, but like Killian Hayes was running point guard to start the season, right? Like DeLon Wright is out there. They have Jeremy Grant just chucking from the rafters, right? Mason Plumlee. Like, this is not exactly built optimally, I don't think. And then like Dennis, like, freaking Dennis Smith starting a point guard for them now.
Dennis Smith.
I don't even think their time overlaps, but just the point, this is the, my point being, this is the kind of, you know, minutes they're getting from their team. So if you look at Blake's numbers and you think, okay, well, what's been happening here? Yeah, maybe there's some age regression for sure, but there's also team regression because.
So you're just to be clear, you're telling me like Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Joe Harris, these guys are probably better than what they have in Detroit?
Probably. So if you look at, I just did a quick filter on if you had, you had to be playing more than 20 minutes per game this season. So there had to be some sample size around how much you'd been on the court, because true shooting and effective field goal percentage are things you can run a little bit hot on, but not for long. So if you look at where the ranks are for these guys right now, the best effective field goal percentage player in basketball this season is DeAndre Jordan. It's actually not even all that close. He's at 76%, and the next closest person is a full 6% below him, and that's Joe Harris at 69.7%. Now, Joe Harris is interesting because most other guys in this group are bigs because they play around the rim, and your effective field goal percentage is going to be borne out by you just take a lot of very easy shots. Like in Jordan's case, it's just all dunks, basically, and that's why the field goal percentage is so high. Harris is different because he is playing around the perimeter. So you're not getting the same looks, but he's such a dead-eye shooter that his looks have become wide-open threes most of the time. And maybe if he was just even on par with other shooters in the game, few other players are getting the same quality of looks on a game-to-game basis. So those, and I have a couple other guys, but are you surprised to hear those numbers around effective, this is EFG percentage, effective field goal percentage. Are you surprised to hear that the Nets have two of the top three most efficient just shooters or scorers in basketball right now?
Yeah, you know, on paper you say, well, Joe Harris is a great perimeter shooter, but to your point, usually it's bigs because of where they're taking their shots from. So, I mean, listen, even though DeAndre Jordan is one of those bigs that would be around the basket more, I am shocked that he's leading it, though, because it still means if the opportunities are there for you, you have to convert them. There's plenty of other bigs that are getting the looks and either not converting or maybe, whatever, getting fouled going to the line as opposed to having the success right at the basket. And as a silver lining to Blake Griffin, potentially, even if he's not the most athletic player that he once was, you can still be, if you're, I've said this time and time again about a lot of different guys on this roster, if you play smart and if you know where to be on the court, well, then Harden, then Kyrie, these guys will find you. It doesn't have to be for alley-oop flushes, right? It can also just be that you fill the lane correctly and get a little bounce pass. And maybe we'll start talking about, you know, layup city, where Griffin just kind of lets those little finger rolls come in and around the basket. So if he's still playing smart, he can be the beneficiary of DeAndre Jordan type EFG.
Well, and then by the way, so then if you get a little further down, those are just the top, that's one and three on the list, right? If you just want to round out the top 25, Jeff Green is 21st in the league in effective field goal percentage, and Bruce Brown is 25th.
Jeff Green is what stands out to me there then, though, because when I keep coming back to it, I think that Blake Griffin's game is closer to a Jeff Green style at this point of his career than it is to a DeAndre Jordan. So if you're a Nets fan, I would think of it like that. His EFG, if Griffin can be in and around 20 in the league and start to double up with Jeff Green in that space and a Bruce Brown, that's a space that I think he can live with this current state of his game. And that's a very big, it's a huge positive coming into his time here.
Well, so right. And this is my point, is that like these are effectively the Nets' four biggest role players, right, in terms mm-hmm. of minutes this season. And they all are in the top 25. That's not by accident. It's almost like you could say, hey, I hate to say this, but maybe anybody can play here, right? Like, it's not totally true because Joe Harris is a little bit different, and Bruce Brown has brought his specific kind of brand of game to the team now. So I think it's not, I don't totally mean it by that statement, but it is a little chicken or the egg where it's like, oh, are they all just kind of carving out their own niche? Or is it like kind of anybody, if you are pretty good and pretty adept at what you do, can be super, super efficient in this offense because the other guys command so much attention? So I don't think it's because of the superstars of Harden and Kyrie and KD that these guys all live in the top 25. By the way, one Mr. Jared Allen is fifth on this list. Now, I know I know that came sometime in Cleveland, and he's been, you know, really kind of filling it up in Cleveland. But a lot of those numbers came from Brooklyn as well, because, again, his stuff was super efficient also. So it's like, oh, if you want to count him as the fifth biggest role player or something like that, just on the amount of time that he spent with the team, this you're starting to get what you're starting to see is a landscape of who basically – if you kind of are with it and sort of a little bit big, you are or can play big around the basket or, again, with Joe Harris, just be able to do one thing super, super well. Like, you are going to find a lot of success in this offense just by nature of who you're playing with. So I think what we're – go ahead.
No, you mentioned about Jackson Gatlin, right, from afar saying, well, Claxton's game can be a byproduct of Harden. And we said, well, we think that there's real value and talent there, but also you get his point, and these stats in some ways bear that out, that, hey, as you say, if you're with it, the only component I don't have is maybe being a little bit bigger, but I feel like I could be a Bruce Brown on this team if that's all you need is high energy and effort and then plug in and again, be where you need to be around Harden. Is that where? Is that fair?
Real quick. Yeah, well, real quick. When I back it out to 15 minutes instead of 20 minutes, Claxton's fifth.
I wanted to ask you, like, and now is there a Claxton sample size that we can get to here?
Yeah, you just got to back it to 15 minutes because he's at 15.1 minutes per game right now. And if you do it to that, it's DeAndre Jordan, Robert Williams, and then Thomas Bryant, who's out for the season for the Wizards, and then Joe Harris, then Claxton. So if you go that group, then now if you go 15 minutes and then you remove Bryant because he's done for the season, then the Nets have three of the top four effective field goal percentage players in basketball.
I think they'll be
okay. And then Allen at that point sits, he sits eighth. So, yeah, this is kind of what you're looking at, folks. This is what happens when you play with superstars like this. Is kind of, again, I don't mean to say it's anybody because it's not anybody. We mentioned Andre Robertson a minute ago. Not everybody can come in and just, like, kind of get you know, double-digit point scoring on a regular sort of minutes. But kind of anybody can. And I think that's where we're going to see some probably decent-sized statistical gains from Blake Griffin, almost no matter what his rotation is. All right, we'll be back again after the Celtics game here when the Nets come back on Thursday evening. In the meantime, first of all, a couple things. One, over on Twitter, if you're over on Twitter, we're getting dangerously close to 1,000 Twitter followers.
Hey,
we've been really working on that since we took over the Locked On Nets podcast. We've seen a really big gains on Twitter. We're about 90 short right now. We're like in the low 900. So if you want to go over on Twitter and give us a follow, much appreciated. We could really help the boost there. If you're not on Twitter, or even if you want to do double duty, also go rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. 5 stars or bust, get those reviews in. Really nice numbers here, even over the All-Star break. So super encouraging. So rate and review the podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. How long you plan to stay? It's been a while. I've missed that smile on your face. You're in and out, but you're not easily replaced. Welcome back, Ali Gatti.
Ooh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.